Hi, Tio Rossi. We're here at Locarno Film Festival to talk about your film, Bruton.
Yes.
I always want to say Burton. I don't know why, but it's Bruton.
Yeah.
Like the main character. And you just told me that last night you had a premiere at Piazza Grande. So how was it?
It was absolutely incredible. It's a wonderful, beautiful film festival because there's a different feel to it. I've been to a lot of film festivals all over the world, and this one has a nice energy to it. It's relaxing, and it's beautiful. It's very hot this year. It was a really wonderful premiere for the film and a great response.
When did you first get on board this story? It's a classical, it's a mix of a heist story and one of those trickster stories as well.
Yeah. My producing partner and I, who's here, Demetrius, we were doing a movie called Come With Me, which is coming out soon. And while we were on the movie, we had done a few movies together. We were looking for more movies like we were doing, and we called it our Cassavetes phase. We wanted films. We use a lot of the same actors. We use a lot of the same, the crews and all that. And we said, man, we really need another one like this. So my buddy, Ronnie Jean Blevins, who's also in the film, he plays the prison guard, Vern. He had just worked with Vincent a few years back, the writer-director, on a movie called What Josiah Saw. And he said, you need to watch this director's movie, Bang Bang, with Tim Blake Nelson. He said he has a new script, but watch this movie first. So I went home that night from set after we were done filming, and I watched Bang Bang, and I was blown away because I love Tim Blake Nelson, but the style of the film was so beautiful. And then I read the script of Bruton, and once I knew it was a true story, that really intrigued me. And I've been doing a lot of work with prisons and jails, anything to do with penitentiaries for a little while. So I've always been intrigued by that situation and that story, how it impacts people. So we came together, and 3 months later, we were making the movie.
And did you know the character that it's about, the actual Bruton?
Yeah, so I did a lot of research, and I got to see all his stuff and all his interviews and all his stories. And then after we agreed, I was fortunate enough to be with him almost every day while we were filming, and he was with me all the time.
Did you stage the point where he breaks out of jail? Did you kind of base that on his actual breakout, or is it pretty much like a fictionalization, or were you even allowed to show the actual breakout from the jail, or was it too realistic?
No, it's everything with that part is true. I think the artistic license is taken in, names are changed, and he was in solitary, for certain parts longer. But all the regular stuff, all the years, all the stuff that went on in there with them doing the prison cast, the radio stuff, the breakout, the escape, that's all exactly how it went down.
And with all the good food that he got to eat, because one of the prison guards loved to cook for him.
Yeah, because he was making money, a lot of money.
How did you relate to that story and that character?
I've had a lot of friends who were in and out of penitentiaries, and I've had family members, and I also had a very distant relationship with my birth father, so I understood the relationship with his daughter. I also have two young children, so I understood being away from them, so there were a lot of things that I could take from my own life and also from people I know, and then after getting to know Brian and kind of bring them all together for the story.
Did you shoot actually inside a prison?
Three real prisons.
How was?
Well, the best part was we would have our video village, the monitors and all that set up in the prison, and the prisoners, the real prisoners, would be behind one of the doors with the glass, the little glass, watching the monitors. We'd be in the other part of the jail that they closed us off for us shooting, and Vincent would be here directing, and they would bang on the door after they called cut, and they'd be like, yeah, that's the one. They were very much a part of our film.
Another director told me when I asked her about if they shot in a prison, she said that they didn't have the means. It was a small production, because she said if you shoot in a prison, you spend so much time getting in and out
that's
of the prison.
Exactly right. So they have to lock everything down, and then there's times where we would even go to shoot and there would be not like riots, but some types of fights and stuff that we'd have to wait till they stopped everything and took the people out of there. And, prisoners who are in for a long time, they don't necessarily listen to what the guards are saying. So there was definitely a lot where we'd be sitting outside the prison a lot waiting to get
in. What was for you the biggest challenge when doing this role?
Doing Brian justice. When you're playing a real person who's standing next to you, you want to make sure that you're telling the best version of their story. Even if you don't agree with everything they've done in their life, you have to tell their story as truthful as you can. So I used him a lot as a reference. So I just just didn't want to disappoint him.
So prison stories, especially in the US, seem to strike a nerve. Do you think that is because, for one thing, that you said that so many people are in prison and get incarcerated? But what is it actually that makes this genre so kind of one of the typical US genres, a modern version of like Western movies that are considered typically American?
So one, there's a lot of people who are incarcerated, and the carceral system is ridiculous in the United States. So there's a lot of that. Also, it's something we don't really talk about, especially when it comes to all the children impacted by the people who are in the carceral system and incarcerated. There's so many more children that suffer because their parents are in prison, and this spotlights that. I think why they're so, you know, the Shawshank Redemptions of the world and the Papillon and Escape from Alcatraz, Shock Caller, all these great prison films, is because it's something we don't really talk about. You know, it's just there, you know, and we don't really pay attention unless it's in our entertainment. We just don't talk about it much. It's almost like when men and women go to fight veterans or downrange to fight in military and stuff. We just don't talk about it. We know it's happening. We know there's millions of people in prison, but we just don't talk about it because it's ultimately a flawed system, especially in the United States. It's not a very well done system. And that's the numbers just prove it's not a well done system. There's a lot of people who get exonerated who go into prison and they find out they're not guilty. Or there's a lot of people who get much longer sentences that maybe they isn't apropos to what they did. And then also there's a lot of people that maybe shouldn't be in prison. They should be in a rehabilitation of some type or drug treatment, or it's very inconsistent. And I think that's why when we watch it, like Westerns, like you said, or certain type of genres, we're intrigued by the stories because we know very little about it as the regular citizen.
And another classic aspect of cinema, but more generally, is the trickster figure. So did you watch other trickster films to prepare, like, for example, Catch Me If You Can, or all those prison breakout things? Papillon, he several times breaks out, he gets back in, he breaks it out again, and it's always the circle.
Yeah, I think that once you know that Brian Bruton is ultimately operator, is a better word. He's always moving. He's always doing something. I know many people like that. I've been like that. So he was always going to figure out some kind of scheme or scam to do something. I know all those films. I also know a lot of real people like that, including Brian. And they're just always going to find a way to do something.
And what about this crazy podcast from prison? Yeah. It was so insane that it didn't instantly knock them down on that. It was like, okay, we got you guys. You did a podcast.
They don't even know. I mean, they're just pulling these things behind closed doors that, you know, everything is so systematic, meaning, you know, everything's so routine that there's so many things that could be done in plain sight that they just didn't even know. And once they got those Wi-Fi cards, once they were with Maura and they were hooked into the outside, it was very easy for them to kind of start these things because no one would think that a prison guard would be working with a prisoner at that time, especially her.
What does a character need to fascinate you?
It has to be multidimensional. There has to be more to the story than I get very bored if it's just a surface character. I've played surface characters early in my career, and I understand that there's definitely a need for, not every character has this written deep backstory. So it's your job to create that, right? In this kind of thing, I'm spanning almost 13 years of a guy's life. I learn so much about him in his life. That makes it a very multidimensional character for me to really dive into. Nowadays, and I'm very fortunate, I've been doing this a long time, I get to play people that really have a lot of things happening, you know, and the eyes never lie. So it's like, what's going on in their life, where they come from, what their story is. We all have one. And I'm fortunate to play these characters that have a lot more depth. And it's what I enjoy the most, is how different a character is from me, because I believe that acting should be acting. And I see that in today's cinema, a lot of people are playing themselves a lot, and it's unfortunate for the art form. I like to see people play characters. My favorite movies, my favorite cinema is people playing characters, and really, and even bigger, crazier ones, and more depth to them. So I'm hoping that I can still find those.
Speaking of, what are the cinematic artists that inspire you or that you admire?
I like stories that I can put myself into them, like Replacement Theory, of what would I do in that situation. So I gravitate more towards human stories, real life stories, because while I like the fantastical and the very big, there's a place for that. For me, I like real life stories of struggle, and this, we're all here for this short period of time, and we all go through a lot of similar things of loss and love and sadness and happiness, and we're all just trying to figure it out. So for me, when I watch my films, it's modern film like Train Dreams and and stuff like that, and older films, everything from Good Will Hunting to The Godfather, to things that I can see myself. What would I do if I was Michael Corleone? What would I do? How would I react? I gravitate more towards the intimacy of that film.
Now that you're here at Locarno with a ton of films, do we even have time to watch something?
No, we've been running and gunning since we got here, so I haven't, but I will have access to them and I can't wait to watch them.
Anything on your list that you would want to watch?
I know Olivia Wilde was here at the invite. I want to see that film, of course. I think there's some really great artists in it. It intrigues me. Luca was here, and I know that James Gray was here, and he has a new film coming out, Paper Tiger, that I'd like to see. So, you know, anytime I see artists, any artist that's really contributing to true cinema, I love.
About Bruton, are you still in contact with him? Or?
Yeah, of course. Every day, especially now. He's very excited. He's very excited. He's a very positive person. The meditation and all that, he's very positive, and he really believed, you know, that this story was going to do certain things, and he's put a lot of energy out to the world and tried to be the best version of himself he could and be the best person that he could after everything that occurred. And yeah, I talked to him a lot.
And so will he actually have to do these 10 years? So is it even more because he had the breakout?
Yeah, I did 11 total.
That's tough. Yeah, that's a lot of them. And what do you have lined up as upcoming projects, if you're allowed to talk about
it? Yeah, sure. A lot of movies. The three that are already have dates coming out are, we have an incredible movie called Come With Me that we did, which is really like, you know, a decimation of a human, very similar in the vein of like Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. And you watch this character, Simon Ward, and what happens to him as he's seduced by the modern culture that is ultimately being, we're constantly have somebody in our ear kind to dictate us, whether it be through podcast or radio or whatever you call it. So that's a really interesting one in vein of those other films. And then I have a film called The Saviors with Adam Scott and Danielle Deadwyler and a bunch of other really amazing artists, Greg Kinnear and David Digg, Colleen Camp, Ron Perlman, all these great artists by this incredible director, Kevin Hamadani. And it's a really salacious film. We had our premiere at South by Southwest, and that will come out in the beginning of next year. And then this.
That's a lot of stuff. So we keep an eye on you, and thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Thank you.